and welcome to the Miles to Memories podcast. I'm Sean Coomer, your host, joined as always by Joe Chung from As the Joe Flies, Disney Deciphered, hanging out in North Carolina this week, right?
That's right, Sean. I'm in Charlotte once again, our yearly pilgrimage here to visit my sister-in-law. Sean, it's kind of fun recording on the road. It's been like a long time since I've done this. I like packed my mic and, you know, we had to make sure that all the settings are correct. Hopefully people's ears aren't bleeding and we're recording using the right microphone. But Sean's editing this week, so thank you, Sean. And I hope that I've got the right microphone chosen so you don't have to suffer.
Yeah, I have PTSD from recording on the road so much for those couple of years where I was traveling that the idea of doing it is never fun. But it's, you know, once you get your setup done and you have the right mics and, you know, I have a fairly easy setup, have it all done, not too difficult, but it's always nerve-wracking to make sure that everything is, you know, what it is when you're in a different environment, especially when you're doing it often. Then it was always an adventure to figure out where to record in the room, how to set up my camera, especially for like the YouTube stuff. So I don't miss doing that twice a week, but yeah, certainly not too bad to do it once in a while. So did you get to go to Bojangles? Did you get your chicken?
Oh my gosh. Well, 1 second before we get to that, let's do a little more podcast nerd stuff. First of all, Sean has like the worst angle of me right now. So we're lucky this is on YouTube because I look horrible. It's like straight up, you know, from the bottom. It's like as fat as I can possibly look. But the other thing, Sean, that I'm sure you like did stuff like this, and just so people know, currently I took an ice bucket, I flipped it over, I put a book on top of the ice bucket to make it flat, and then I have my mic on top of that so it's close to my mouth. So just all this nonsense that we have to do to set up on the road.
Yeah, ice buckets are good. I've used the bottom of trash cans, unfortunately, if I had to, other things around a room. What I eventually learned and what my good setup was after a while was one time I was staying in this Hyatt Place somewhere in Florida, but they gave me a suite at the Hyatt Place and it had, and I've told you this before, I think, but it had all those coffee cups, the temporary cups, but instead of like two that you would get in a normal suite, it had like 10 or 12 of them. And all of a sudden it caught my eye and I realized that putting nine of them together was a perfect stand to kind of lift my laptop up. Believe it or not, I actually am using that at home. I have a stand for my laptop, but it would always shake. And so at home on my desk, because I have to lift up my camera a little bit, I still use the cups every once in a while. And then I travel with them. And the great thing is they don't take up much space because you just put them all inside each other. And it's a fairly easy way to go. And then I never had to worry too much about lifting myself up. Now, depending on which room, sometimes you have to lift up a little bit more. But yeah, you talk about nerdy stuff and good little travel hack.
And also some science in there too. It's like a bed of nails, right? You know, you distribute the pressure across all those things. I promise, don't worry, I will not forget about Bojangles. But since we're talking about a little bit science nerd stuff, we did get a lot of people messaging us. Obviously, we released post eclipse, but a lot of people ended up traveling for the eclipse or they were in the totality section and we ended up having a little bit of FOMO.
I definitely did. After we talked about it, even as we were talking about it, I'm like, I should probably, you know, do it. But I didn't have the glasses, so there was no way I could look at it. And we were about, I think, 54% at the peak. So I did look outside and see sort of the shadow, but I couldn't look up at the eclipse. And I was sort of regretting that. I was like, I should have had the glasses. But yeah, I totally got FOMO. And we know a lot of people who went, saw the totality, loved it. Some people saying it was life-changing. Others just enjoyed it. And no shame in that. And I'm glad people got to enjoy it. And, you know, we've talked about, 2045 in Orlando, they'll have it. But there's others around the world, right? And I guess it depends. Some are longer than others. They're only a couple minutes. Other ones are longer than that. But it does seem like for travelers, there are opportunities more often.
Yeah, for sure. Spain and Portugal in 2026, I think. The thing that was coolest to me, so I take a class of students to the Science Museum every week for programming there. And so we did like their eclipse show, because obviously they've been doing an eclipse show for like 3 months since this was coming. And they were talking about how, you know, wildlife acts differently. And I was like, we're not going to be like full totality. Like, is that really going to happen? Well, we live by a river. So we were out kind of close to the river to watch. And in the summer, like I love living by the river and it's really nice to walk, but I hate how in the summer, like at nighttime, there's just like gnats everywhere. Probably something you don't have to deal with too much in Las Vegas. Like tiny, like just clouds and clouds of gnats. Anyway, as we got to like close to 94%, like right around 3:30 PM, which was the peak, all these bugs came out. That was kind of nuts, Sean. And like they came, like they, I think they are like the type of bugs that have like 12-hour lifespans or something like that. But it was bizarre. And then, you know, an hour later, they were all gone.
My daughter would have been screaming. We actually do have gnats in Las Vegas, and you often find them above swimming pools in the summer, like flying like crazy. And you know what's crazy is I've lived here in Las Vegas for, a long time, like 30 years. And mosquitoes was something we never had. And now they're finding mosquitoes all over the place because of the boom in population, more sitting water. So we're not even safe from mosquitoes here anymore. That was one of the good reasons to live in the desert. You know, you had scorpions and spiders, but no mosquitoes. But apparently that's not even the case anymore. So I don't know. Maybe time to move.
Time to move. All right. Regarding Bojangles, we got in around 9 p.m. and I was like, all right, straight to Bojangles. And my wife was like, and for those of you who haven't listened before, you know, we just go to Bojangles when we're here because we can't get it up north. And yes, I know that not everyone thinks it's the best fried chicken. So we get it. All right. Anyway, we went straight to Bojangles and then I was pulling in and my wife was like, hey, last time when we came here at that time, they didn't have any chicken left. And I was like, no, that was probably like a one-time thing, whatever. Well, she was right. They didn't have any chicken left. They only had Supremes, which is what they call their chicken tenders. So we haven't gone yet. We're going to have to go later. Ended up just going to Wendy's instead. It was like 10 p.m. So we just had like a little bit something to eat and then went to bed. But Bojangles foiled.
I look forward to our conversation next year where you forget again that they run out of chicken so late and you try to go there. Now, there's another reason for you to visit Las Vegas. They just announced two Bojangles locations opening here. And so you'll be able to come here and get them. I guess they're really expanding. For them to come all the way out here means that they're really spreading out. They got to go up north to Boston.
They really do. You know what's funny, Sean? We were talking a little bit last week about traveling with our family and stuff like that. So when my parents were with us at Disney World, another place that I really like to eat, Waffle House, also not up in the north. One thing I didn't know is that apparently when we went to Disney World as kids and we like stayed off site at the Days Inn and stuff like that, we went to Waffle House all the time. So my parents took a day off from the parks and they ended up like going to Waffle House just for like nostalgia reasons, which is so funny. Like I didn't even know we went to Waffle House, but like I said, same with the laundry, it's like genetics. Like, you know, they're drawn to Waffle House the same way that I am. So I thought that was pretty funny. And I was a little disappointed that, I should have gone to Waffle House while we were down there. But just funny, my parents did stuff like that. They did say it's a lot more expensive than they remember it being in the 80s.
Yeah, Waffle House used to be very cheap. I haven't been into one in a few years. I remember our first road trip, and this is one of the cool reasons people should travel around the country and do road trips. Because, you know, the United States, you know, in some areas has been homogenized. We have chains everywhere, but you still have that regional stuff. And I remember going through the South the first time, and every stop, you would have a Waffle House off every freeway exit and a Cracker Barrel. And I'm not a big fan of Cracker Barrel. We have them in Vegas now. Never been my favorite. I wish Waffle House would come here. I think they've come to Arizona, but not quite here yet. But that is always something I'm excited about. And it's just a simple place. Love the atmosphere. It's not trying to do anything crazy or over the top. It's just, yeah, it's just like Southern hospitality, I feel like. So another vote for me for Waffle House. And I love, you know, just going around discovering all those regional chains, even though they all seem to be building things in Las Vegas now. So I don't even have to leave anymore.
I guess Las Vegas is the place to go. Dunkin' Donuts is the Northeast version. And we used to have a lot of friendlies, but they're almost all shut down. So that's too bad. Spent a lot of time there as a kid.
Yeah, those old ice cream restaurants, that was a big thing in the 80s, right? I know Friendly's survived and still does. I've been to them on the East Coast, but there were a couple brands on the West Coast too, where like a big part of it was the ice cream experience, even though they were full restaurants. And I remember growing up with those. And it's all good. But maybe we should talk about your two favorite things, Chase and Disney, because we do have a specific credit card related story. We're not just talking Disney today, but they released this interesting offer for Disney cardholders for staying at Walt Disney World. You know, I was not sure what the economics were because Disney's doing a lot of things with weird discounts on hotel rooms and they have these really high rack rates. So you never really know what the truth is. And that's why, you know, Joe does this all the time. So it was good to ask him. But basically, they're offering a free dining plan when Disney Visa card members purchase a non-discounted 4-night, 4-day Walt Disney travel company package. So at select Disney resorts and select dates. But I asked Joe, I said, is this a good deal? And you didn't seem too excited.
Most times it's not a good deal. For starters, it's a very short amount of time. So it's like July 1st to 31st. And then there's like a small window in September and then basically December up until Christmas. And so not a lot of time during those times, except for the December time, but it's coming. Don't worry. There are room discounts offered at the same time. Typically, the room discount is going to end up being better. And the whole thing about the dining plan is it's just too much food for one family. Now, this is actually great timing. Yesterday, as you're listening to this on Disney Deciphered, we released our episode on how to maximize the dining plan. Just a quick summary for you. Probably the best way to maximize the dining plan is if two families are going, for one family to get the dining plan and then to share it between the two families. I don't know how to say this. There's just too much. It's too much food. Like, you do not want to sit down and eat a buffet every single night. And that's what you're going to end up doing when you have the dining plan, because you have all these allotments. So typically, it's not a good deal. If you were planning on getting the dining plan anyway, then you still have to do the math and compare it to the room discount. So I think it is funny, though, that they were sending out the promo like to Chase card members, like, because a bunch of people reached out to us because they got it in their email from Chase, not from Disney. So it's funny. You kind of forget about that partnership from time to time, but it's actually pretty strong. And, you know, unrelated, I found out last week, I was telling Sean that people who work for JP Morgan Chase can get discounts on Disney tickets, like up to 13%, which is better than a kick in the head for sure.
Yeah. So Joe applied immediately for a position at his local Chase bank. So if you're going in there, you'll see him as a teller. No, I mean, that is good. It's a good benefit for them. Just a reminder, though, when you see promotions like this, you know, one, do you need the dining plan? So are you getting something that you didn't need anyway? I spend significantly less when I go to Disney World on food because we often eat off property or we eat one meal at the parks and go elsewhere. We're not big into sit down dining.
Yeah, Waffle House.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can save a lot on that. So, you know, even if you were going to eat some nights there and some nights off property, now you're forcing yourself, you're sort of paying yourself up for that. And then, you know, you're getting tickets non-discounted. Sometimes there's been options even for discounted tickets this year, if I remember right. And then obviously the room discount. So just pay attention to that. And, you know, reach out to Joe too if you have questions, because he's in the weeds on all this stuff all the time.
Yeah, I'm happy to do all the math for you. And yeah, Sean, I forgot. You bring up a great point. Up until the end of September, there is what's called a four park, four magic ticket. And that is there are four theme parks at Disney, different ones, and you get to go to each park once. No park hopping or anything like that, but it's like over $100 saved per ticket. And famously, I don't mind spending money, but it's funny, Sean, I've been like trying to convince clients to buy this cheaper ticket, and not all will. Like, they'll pay for a 5-day park hopper instead of this four park magic ticket. And that costs them like an extra $200, $250 per person. That's like $1,000 for a family of four. So definitely look at those four park magic tickets. And if you're getting those, then it's like a no brainer. I mean, you can get those and then buy the dining plan separately with a room discount, and you're probably going to come out ahead even if you wanted the dining plan in the first place. So yeah, it's a lot of math. It's a lot of spreadsheets. Sean, I like made my own spreadsheet to make sure, even just buying for one family to pay for like all 12 of us, I made a spreadsheet to make sure it was like all going to be worth it. And so, you know, Disney is a master of breakage. We came out ahead, but we still left two kids' quick service meals on the table. So, you know, even like trying really hard, we ended up not using all our meals. And that's for five people paying for 12 people's meals.
Yeah, that's a little bit insane. One other quick Disney thing that we're not going to go into depth here, I imagine you'll talk about on Disney Deciphered, is this week they announced changes to their disability access program, which is how disabled people are able to access rides and, you know, not wait in long queues and all of that. There's been a lot of abuse with the program, according to Disney, and they needed to change things. And boil it down, I just want to, for people who are listening who may utilize this program, we don't know all the changes, how it's all going to work, but even people in wheelchairs may not get full access to the disabled program going forward. You're going to have to meet with a doctor online ahead of time. So I wanted to point it out here. And like I said, you can listen to a more in-depth Disney podcast for all the logistics of it. But if you utilize these programs, know that you're going to have to deal with this before you go in the future. It's part of the planning process now.
Yeah, Disney Dish, as I was driving back to the hotel, Sean listened to their take on it, and they did a really great job summarizing everything. I will like TLDR this. People are like flipping out. Anytime Disney does anything, people flip out. Universal made a similar change, which I think is probably more restrictive a year or two ago, and there was very little grumbling about it. To me, the bottom line is, as far as I can tell, and this is not me holding water for the company, it's just, if you have a legitimate reason, then you are going to be fine. But there was just like way too much abuse and people getting it who did not need it. Now, the one big change is one way that people have been abusing it is by saying that they have IBS. I'm not saying that people who actually have IBS were abusing it. I'm saying people like you and me, actually, Sean, I don't know if you have IBS or not, but I don't have IBS. But someone like me saying that I have IBS and saying like I can't stay in line for a long time because I'll need to leave to go to the bathroom. Like people are legit, because there are like TikTokers, Sean, who say, you know, tell Disney that you have this. And because of the way, and the way it should be, because of ADA, right? Disney can't be like, prove it that you have IBS. You know, companies don't do that. People have been illegitimately abusing this by doing things like saying they have IBS. So the one thing that Disney has said that we don't know anything about is they're going to institute like a re-enter the line if you need to go to the bathroom thing. And that should solve things for the people who actually have IBS, right? And then anyone who Disney updated the language to say it's more for developmental disabilities, autism, stuff like that. If you're on the spectrum, if your kid is on the spectrum, anyone who has had to get DAS in the past because of that, they're not going to have any problems. And then on the wheelchair thing, Sean, if you look at the queues, the like more recent queues, they have become very, very handicapped accessible. Like you can drive your scooter through the majority of the queue in a lot of them, definitely a wheelchair. And Disney is going to say, I mean, technically right now, DAS is not supposed to be for mobility issues anyway. Like if you can, so my mom, I told you she had hip issues and she was like, should I get a disability thing? And I was like, Mom, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to get you a wheelchair anyway. And so, you know, that's how it is. We got DAS once for a medical issue that Jess had. But other than that, you know, I can see how it's been really abused. And even when we got it, I was like, are we sure? Am I sure that we should be getting this? So I'm glad they're doing this. And I think as long as it's implemented well, it'll be better for everyone overall, park operations, the people. Because if you think about it, the people who need DAS, they are hurt by the people who are illegitimately abusing it.
Yeah, shame on everybody who does this. I heard anecdotally something like the number of people using it has gone up like 3x in the last few years. I remember the old system 10, 15 years ago, which was much simpler than even the system. They've changed quite a bit over the years because more and more people are using it. And, you know, it takes away from the other park guests. It slows down queues. And I hope that they do find a good solution that works for people who need it and weeds out the jerks who decide to fake it and they want to cut in line. And it's, you know, it's just terrible because not only are you screwing over regular park guests, but you're really kind of screwing over the people who need it and taking, you know, that system away. And I wish people would think about that before they do things. It's not just at Disney, it's everywhere else. We see a lot of this sort of stuff, but, you know, even on airplanes, people bringing fake service dogs that they don't need to because they want to avoid paying the pet fee, which causes the airlines to be more restrictive and, you know, hurts some people who need it, makes it all more difficult. I don't know. It's just a terrible thing, but thanks for explaining that. Plenty of podcasts and stuff out there that'll go in depth, I'm sure. A lot of people in the Disney community were not happy about this. I don't understand why. Hopefully, you know, they'll make sure that the people who need it absolutely get it. And they also said that if you fake a disability, that you will be banned from their parks for life, which was an interesting sort of take on all that. So they're definitely cracking down.
One funny thing that Disney Dish said, Sean, that I don't know, Len was so like cagey about how he was talking about it. I can't 100% tell if it's true or not, but he said, and I think this makes sense, that people would go to guest services with like a printout of like what to say to get approved for disability access services, like from, again, from a influencer or a TikToker or whatever. And, but the funny thing that he said was these things are on camera. Disney can see on camera that the person is like reading off of a script or whatever. And yeah, I mean, that's just completely out of pocket, completely out of bounds. So I'm glad that they're cracking down. I'm sure that on the, there are going to be edge cases where things go wrong. But I mean, Disney has been so good, especially with kids and adults with developmental disabilities for so long that you know, it's just tough for me to believe that they're not trying to do this for the right reasons. And it's just going to take a little while to figure out how to do it well, but I think it's going to be okay. And then, like I said, anytime Disney does anything, everyone flips out.
Yeah, sometimes rightfully so, sometimes not. But we'll move on from Disney and we'll keep an eye on all of this and when it's implemented. Because I do know there's a lot of people who listen who do go to Disney. And these were sort of big changes for people's experience. But let's move on to American Express. And Benji wrote this week about this retention offer that he got, which is very interesting because he turned it down. And on the surface, this is probably the best retention offer we've heard of for the American Express Gold Card, 30,000 membership rewards after 3,000 in spend. Now, for people out there who aren't aware of what American Express has been doing, you know, when you take a retention offer, and this has been the case for several years now, you agree that you're going to basically keep the card for the year and, you know, they can take the retention offer back if you downgrade it. It's very similar to when you sign up and they say they expect you to keep the card a year, they could take your bonus away. And we've talked about some of the new language they're using and how they're sort of adapting and tweaking that. But in his case, he turns this down and kind of breaks down the math on, you know, why he does, because of the annual fee, because it's taking up slots, that he could also get another gold card down the line, even if he's not eligible for a welcome offer by referring, you know, his spouse or his spouse referring him. And, you know, it's just a reminder, kind of like with the Chase Disney thing, when you see something on the surface, it's not always the case. And especially when you're paying an annual fee and not a small annual fee on this card, you know, do you really need those points? Is it really making sense for you? In some cases, maybe it will, but that card doesn't have quite the benefit that it used to have. It doesn't have a ton of benefits to it. So I like kind of highlighting this because it's fun to get a good retention offer, but do we always need to keep that card?
Yeah, I think that shows, as always with Benji, a large amount of discipline. But I think because, I mean, the whole reason why Amex implemented this you can't cancel after a year thing is to keep you locked in. And then like you hold it for over a year and then maybe you forget, or like you just get lazy, or you're like, I'm okay with this. And then you pay a second year of the annual fee. So I do think it's good to do the math. So yeah, great article by Benji.
It may seem crazy because there's 10 slots. You could have 10 pay over time slots for cards that are pay over time, right? Not credit cards, but charge cards in the old terminology that they used to use. So that I don't think most people are hitting that, but there's been so many targeted offers and so many different ways. So there are people that have that and they are bumping up against that. And I think Benji's one of them, but I do think there's other people in the hobby that are doing it. And I highlight it for two reasons. If you're not at that level, and I don't have 10 charge cards, so I'm not at that level. You know, you can see where other people are and sort of the way they're doing it and how they're pushing things and the thought process behind that, because maybe you can, you know, maximize your American Express relationship more. And maybe you're not. Maybe this does work for you. But always, you know, don't get caught in by the flashy numbers and make sure that something works. And increasingly, we're all valuing, I think, these credits less. And, you know, you get the $10 Uber credit, you get the dining credit with this card, but all the breakage seems to be adding up. All of the mental cycles that we're going through to use the credits seem to be wearing us down and certainly wearing me down. And so I don't value those as highly as maybe I did a couple of years ago. Uber a little bit easier because I do tend to do Uber Eats a couple of times a month and I use up my credits. It's fine. But even then, I'm sort of forcing myself to use Uber Eats to use the credits. So I don't know how that all works out. But yeah, it may be, I feel like there's probably a few people out there listening thinking, how do you get 10 pay over time cards? And, you know, there are people that are doing that and they're finding value out of the different bonus categories and the different ways to spend, different referral offers that are available, no lifetime language offers, all things that are above board with American Express. But, you know, sometimes you got to think past paying fees to see what the long-term gain is. And then in the cases of this, sometimes you need to look at the fee and say the long-term gain isn't worth it. So another American Express related story is they're sending out, as we talked about, best ever retention offer. How about 250,000 membership rewards points for a business platinum card? There was a link that went around. You still have to be targeted for it. So even if you had the link, you could log into your account, see if you're being targeted. But look, be on the lookout for this. When you log in, check your email, maybe in the mail itself. 250,000 points is, I mean, I remember the days we talked about this before. 100,000 was crazy. 150K for this card became the norm. We saw, I believe, 200K, certainly 180, 190 around. There is a $695 annual fee, but those membership rewards are worth at least $2,500, probably significantly more than that. And I just said I got tired of all the coupon book and all the credits and stuff, but if they're giving me 250K, Joe, I'm all for it.
Yeah, so the like link to check if you're eligible is gone, but there's still a direct link, which is in the article that we have. I clicked on it without logging in. It gave me 190,000, and you know, I'm going to try to log in and see what it says. But I'm thinking about it, and I've said that it's time to start replenishing my American Express balance. I'm wondering, like, is 190,000 worth it, or do you need the 250,000? And then, of course, I can't remember. I'd have to look it all up again, but like, what are the lifetime language limits on this and stuff like that?
Yeah, and it depends on, you know, if you've had the card before, all of that stuff. Again, there's all kinds of tips out there. Sometimes American Express will show you a different offer depending on which browser you're using, which IP address you're using. So this, you know, is something that people have made a lot of fun with over the years. We don't really know what they're using to target people. It's strange that you can use the same browser or a different browser on the same computer and get a different offer. But just be on the lookout. I don't think that if you don't get it, that getting 190K is something to kind of, you know, turn your nose at, because historically that's just insane. And it still far outweighs the annual fee. And then of course you get all the other stuff like the Dell credits, you know, your wireless credit every month and other stuff that you can get. So Centurion access, if you don't already have another platinum card. So I don't know, 190K for me still sounds pretty good. I've done a few of those offers. I think 180, 190K, never got the 250, but certainly would be willing to do it. But don't sleep on that as well, because even though the no lifetime language offers have slowed down, people are doing okay with those over the years, getting big offers. And then there's some interesting referral offers too right now with the 10x on dining if you're targeted for that. And you could refer somebody else and then you can earn 10x on dining up to 25,000 in spend. And there are people out there who have a lot of dining spend, a lot of business spend. So the cool thing about that referral offer, Joe, is if you refer somebody on that offer, you get 25,000 points. So like a normal referral plus the 10x on dining on up to 25,000. So you refer a spouse, they may or may not be eligible for a welcome offer. That's something that could happen, but you could probably do pretty well on the referral. Or hopefully you refer a friend and you get to maximize this, because that could be another 250K right there if you have enough spend. So don't overlook these referral offers either. Because in the past, a lot of times when they gave these extra X points on spend, they didn't also give you the referral, but you're actually getting the 25K plus the 10X, which is sort of insane. And then also the fact that they capped it at 25K in spend, allowing you to earn up to 250,000 points on your dining is another great deal as well.
Yeah, it's always nice when American Express is clear about like exactly how much you can earn, because then you don't have to worry about the rat team coming for you or whatever. And yeah, I agree, those referral bonuses are really great. Sean, I logged in, garbage, dropped it to 120,000. You know, I'm gonna try again for my sister-in-law's house later to see what it says. But I think this is a good segue, because you know, the sign up bonus is much lower. And by the way, I would never sign up for, I find very few scenarios where I would sign up for a platinum card without the sign up bonus. But Benji just wrote an article about why you might want to sign up for a credit card without a sign up bonus. And I will say that now that my small business is actually like, I have quite a significant amount of expenses. Like I am, you know, they're business expenses, but I am charging like a lot more. And I am also trying to separate that from my personal spending, which, you know, I should have always done. But now that things are like, have really ramped up, and I'm sure it used to be like this for you with reselling, I can see more scenarios where I would get a card just for, you know, whatever multiplier bonus they have, which is one of the things that was mentioned in the article, or for other reasons. So, you know, what did you think of this article about possibly signing up even without a sign-up bonus?
Yeah, I think the moral of today's story is think bigger picture. And there are scenarios where the bigger picture makes sense to do this. Some of the examples he brings up, buying elite status or lounge access. I know a lot of people get the Aspire card. And, you know, obviously there is a bonus on that if you can get it. But some people will upgrade to that card to get the diamond status with Hilton. There's other ways to do it without that. So, you know, keeping that in mind, some of the club cards for the airlines certainly fall within that as well. And it doesn't even mean that you don't get any sign-up bonus, but it may not be a bonus that offsets the annual fee enough, or where if you just purely look at the welcome offer, that it's valuable enough. You have to really kind of look at what are the perks that come with it. But sometimes that makes sense. Other things like Banana Republic card, the Sears Shop Your Way card over the years, not really giving you big bonuses to sign up, but they've had insane targeted spending offers that are 10x or more. And so people have gotten those cards proactively trying to get those spending offers. So another thing to look at. Also, you know, American Airlines cards with all the things you can do, earning loyalty points and Delta as well. So there are scenarios where even when there may be a welcome offer, it may not be value enough on the surface, but you're kind of looking longer term and seeing all of that stuff, you know, bigger spend bonuses as well. So I know somebody who's doing MGM status through the MGM credit card, spending up to get the tier credits to get the status to save on resort fees. The welcome offer was like $100 on that card, so not really a great welcome offer, but that's not really what they care about. They care about being able to spend up to a certain level to earn the status that will then give them the value that they want. And so there's a lot of different cards and different scenarios that play into this. Some people get the Bonvoy Boundless card to change it to the Ritz card, which has some pretty good benefits, although, you know, it lost the restaurants along with CSR for their priority pass, which hurts. But every authorized user on that card, I believe, gets their own priority pass. It became very valuable for people over time. And that's a card you can only get by converting. So there's a lot of that stuff. Also, he says, you know, 2% cash back cards. He spends a lot, right? So he needs a lot of bandwidth. Probably not as many people need that. But also Schwab Platinum is another card he keeps, kind of talking about having to pay the annual fee and the value, but he cashes out a lot of membership rewards points. So having that card, even though he might not have a regular Platinum card and keep it long term, he's keeping that one so he can keep the cash out option. And so it's just about kind of thinking long term and looking past what the initial welcome offer is, and seeing if any of these products actually work for you long-term, if the benefits work for you long-term, whether it be status, perks, and everything else. And there are quite a few products and quite a few different places to look in this space that that is the case.
Yeah, someone in the comments, Harv, said that they got the one of the Delta Amex cards, even though they were ineligible for the bonus, just to get the 15% off SkyMiles redemptions in the free bag. So, you know, there are lots of use case scenarios for this. You know, you get the $95 annual fee Delta card if you were going to check two bags or something like that, or even, you know, you might even be able to get $95 in value from the 15% off redemption, since basically it's like cash-based SkyMiles these days. So there are lots of good reasons that you might not think of, because we're a very sign-up bonus focused community, as we should be, right? That's where you get the maximum value earning-wise, but there are other ways to get value besides just straight miles.
And what's interesting is there's plays for like the beginners, which I would say that Delta one is sort of similar to that, getting bags and, you know, pretty obvious stuff. And then there's a lot more advanced stuff too, as you get into it. So the different levels that you can think about this sort of topic are interesting and they work. And it's always nice to kind of open our minds up to it. Another credit card related story is Discover is offering 0% APR for 12 months for some of their current cardholders. They've done this various times over the years. It's sometimes they target people, but you can often just chat with them or call them and ask if they have an offer for you and they can add it to your account. Now, this is on new purchases. If you don't pay the balance after 12 months, you get hit with the interest for the entire period. So keep that in mind. But given where interest rates are today, a more advanced play, and this is something I remember people used to do this back before the Great Recession, quite often when we had higher interest rates, and you're starting to see it again now, where you get a 0% credit card, you spend whatever you spend on it, throw that money in the bank, and then pay it off after the year. So you're basically getting your interest on the money, you know, without paying any interest on the other end. So you earn the interest in the bank account, don't pay it on the credit card. It does require a lot of organization. You don't want to screw this up because then you'll get hit with much more interest than you would earn from a savings account. But I know a lot of people who have done this over the years, and it's always interesting when you can get an offer. And if you already have a Discover card, might be able to get this. But also another reason to look at 0% APR offers. I've taken advantage of this for my businesses with like Business Platinum card last year. I had an offer 0%, was able to, you know, hit all the spending on that and keep that at 0% as well. Kind of nice when interest rates are 5%, maybe up to 6%, I'm seeing in some savings accounts.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a lot more fun when the APY was like 6%. Although, yeah, I think it's creeping up again. So it's not a bad play. You can even do, I think people would used to do 6-12 month CDs or the, what were the government bonds things? The I-bonds. Like that was a thing for a while. And then of course you can just throw it into the stock market and, you know, take your, I mean, that's a little bit more gambly, but over the course of a year, that's a little bit more gambly, but still that's an option too.
Yeah, I know there are some nationwide savings accounts that are over 5% now. I've seen some niche ones that are at 6% with some hoops that you have to jump through. But with interest rates being where they're at, we may or may not see them go down this year. We don't really know. You know, they're expected to go down a little bit. But it's, you know, when it's at 1% or 2%, this didn't make a ton of sense. It's a lot of effort. And depending on how much credit you can get, and not just, again, with Discover, it's nice to see that they're doing this, but there are some sign-up offers, you know, that can give you 0% interest. And some of them don't have welcome offers, to kind of go back to our previous topic. But, you know, you could see where the value would be in putting it in. Also, again, I would highly suggest that you don't risk that money on anything. Put it somewhere safe, and that you're somebody who's so detail-oriented that you're not going to kind of screw it up. Or do it the first time with a small amount and see how that works for you, and if you want to do it. But it is something that a lot of people have done. It's a strategy that's been around forever. And, you know, we're back, you know, everything that's old is new again, Joe.
That's right. We're old enough and we've been in this game long enough to see the cycle repeat itself, like any good sci-fi series.
Absolutely. So I did want to talk about real quick, I'm headed to Nashville this week with Hilton. They invited me out there and I'm going to be touring a bunch of their different hotels in Nashville, including some of their brands, and talking to some of the people from Hilton Honors. So it'll be interesting. As this comes out, I will be at Nashville. So I guess I don't have to keep it a secret. I don't really know what I'm expected to learn there, but on a future show, I'll talk about everything I see. I know I'll be touring some of their like new brands, their new extended stay brand. They have a hotel studio there that we'll be touring, and some of their other brands around Nashville. I didn't realize they had such a wide footprint in Nashville, but they have so many properties there, all the different brands and stuff. And I'm excited to hear what their take is on having so many brands, because we've talked about how it's sort of brand overload lately, and they sort of get lost in the shuffle and we don't know which brand is which. And so I'll be interested to see how they all differentiate from each other.
Yeah, I guess all those bachelorette parties in Nashville need somewhere to go and somewhere to stay, which is why there are so many Hiltons and stuff there. It's funny, like, we think of hotels as destinations, which they are in a lot of ways. But one thing that like has kind of blown my mind, we're just staying at a Hyatt house here in like in the outskirts of Charlotte, and they put us in an ADA room, and I was like, can we get a different room? And they're like, no, we're oversold. And I went to breakfast this morning and there's like no one there. And I'm like, who is staying here? Like what? Like it must be like people here for business or like in the area, long-term stay or something like that. There are just entire segments of the market that we don't understand. And so, you know, maybe ask Hilton, right? Maybe the whole reason why they have these different brands is because there are different segments of the market that we don't even think about, right? Because we're just thinking about travel as mostly like vacation, every once in a while to see family and stuff like that. But that must be what it is, right? Because why are there a million different Hilton brands in Nashville? So I think that'll be a fun question to ask. And hopefully you get some answers about how the hotel management is thinking about all these different brands. Maybe they get confused too.
Yeah, it's always fun when you get to sit down with the people who make these decisions and who are sort of charting the future, especially at a company like Hilton. I don't have any information to share, like there'd be changes, or I don't believe any of that's the case. I think they're really highlighting some of their portfolio and how they're sort of differentiating Hilton in the market. So I look forward to sharing that on a future show, whatever I end up learning. I don't know quite what I'm going to learn, but it's always exciting to get invited and to sit down with them. And I plan to share on this show whatever I learn with everybody out there. So look forward to that probably in 2 weeks, because next week I'll have an interview, and Joe will be back. You'll be back in a couple weeks, right?
That's right. I'll be on the episode in 2 weeks, so we can talk about Hilton then. After you've processed all the amazing information.
In the meantime, Joe, where can people find you when they're not listening to this fine podcast?
You can find me at AsJoeFlies, all of our social media, Joseph Chung at TravelMation.net for any of your travel agent needs. Disney trips, cruises, whatever. What about you, Sean?
At Miles to Memories, all over social media, VegasStuffYouTube.com/Miles to Memories. And for everything else we do, these posts that we talk about, Benji writing, DDG, everything going on the site, MilesToMemories.com. You can find all of our stuff there. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time.
See ya.